Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey, and today is July 25th, and we are celebrating Christmas in July here at St. Peter Lutheran Church. There is a heat index of 98 degrees outside right now, so it is perfect weather for Christmas in July. I'm glad that you are watching today. Glad God has brought you here, and I pray that this service will be meaningful for you. Let me start by reporting that I had a great time this last week in Kansas City with our high school youth on our mission trip. Thank you to everybody who prayed for us. We saw God at work. It was really a good trip. So watch for more on that about the trip in a couple of weeks. For today's reading, we will hear the Christmas story as told in Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration and was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the family of David. He went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. In that region there were shepherds living in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for see, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom he favors." When the angels had left them and gone up into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing which has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. When they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I once heard about a little boy in a Sunday school class who was drawing a picture, and his teacher came up and asked him, "What are you drawing?" And he said, "I'm drawing a picture of God." She responded, "How are you drawing God? No one knows what God looks like." He looked up at her and said, "Well, maybe they don't know now, but they will when I get finished." One of the great questions of faith is, how do we know about God? What does God look like? What is God like? And it's a great question. I suspect if we tried to draw God, we'd all come up with something different. One of the fundamental characteristics of God is that God is so far beyond us that we cannot fully describe him. In fact, even saying we can't describe him, really that goes too far, because God is not a him or a her. God is not male or female, but God is not an it either, because God is a personal, active being. And you start to see, just with that example, how our very human language is inadequate for fully grasping God. We don't have the words, we don't have the brain power to define a being who exists for eternity, who created the cosmos. We can name characteristics of God, like God is loving, God is just, God is patient, but we can't work out fully how those come together. And the attempts we make to define God, and people throughout history have tried and continue to try, those attempts always end up being too small. because God does not fit neatly into any box that you or I can imagine. And yet, the claim of the Christmas story, the claim of Christians in general, is that we can know something about God because God has chosen to come to us as Jesus, in the person of Jesus Christ. God has chosen to reveal God's self to us. God wants to be known by us. God longs to be in a relationship with us. The reason that we care about a child born 2,000 years ago, the reason we celebrate Christmas, whether it's in December or July or whenever, we don't know what date Jesus was born. We celebrate it, though, because this baby, this child born in Bethlehem, this is the one in whom God has chosen to be revealed to us. This is God with us. This is God coming to us, God coming in person, entering the world. In the prologue to his telling of the Jesus story, John describes God as the Word. God's voice animates creation. God speaks and the world begins. He says, "The Word was in the beginning with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him, and the Word became flesh and lived among us." The Message paraphrase of the Bible describes it like this: "The Word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood." I love that image of God moving into our neighborhood. God became knowable. God revealed God's self to us. God didn't stay off somewhere far away in heaven. God moved into our neighborhood, into our lives. And so when we look at Jesus, the baby whose birth we celebrate, we see God. Trying to picture God, the eternal, infinite creator, that's more than our little human brains can handle. We can't grasp God. We can't draw that God, God in God's infinite glory. Martin Luther, in a Christmas sermon, once put it like this: "I would not have you contemplate the deity of Christ, the majesty of Christ, but rather his flesh. Look upon the baby Jesus. Divinity may terrify man. Inexpressible majesty will crush him. That is why Christ took on our humanity, save for sin, that he should not terrify us, but rather that with love and favor he should console and confirm." So to understand God, we need to look at Jesus, God in the flesh. This is the way God understands us. God experiences what we experience. And we understand God because we look at the life Jesus lived. We look at his healings, his teachings, at his death on the cross to forgive us, and we learn about God. Jesus is how we meet God, how we encounter the divine. Listening to Jesus' teachings, we learn about the promise of God's kingdom. We learn a better way to live. In Jesus' miracles and healings, we catch glimpses of God's power. And in the Christmas story, in the way God chooses to enter the world, we learn something about the depths of God's love for us and for the world. We learn that God is not just found in the majesty, in the peaceful places, in the sacred. God is also found in the messiness and the chaos, in the weakness of a little baby. God doesn't choose to come into the world as a king, as a ruler, but as a child. God moves into our neighborhood, which of course means we should go out there too. God cares about the world, and so should we. We serve a God who chooses not to stay in heaven, but to get involved, to care, to have compassion, to act. We serve a God who made and formed humankind in God's own image, choosing to be born a human. God chose to become one of us, to experience the same things we experience, the emotions, the struggles, the joys, the passions of human life. God chose to become one of us so that we could know God. We serve a God who chooses to be present not only in palaces, but in the muck of a barn, or more historically accurately, in the lean-to out back. Born in scandal to an unwed mother, carried along as a refugee fleeing his homeland, growing up in an oppressed nation, Jesus experiences the fullness of human life. The message of Christmas is that if you want to know what God looks like, what God is like, if you want to know who God is, look to Jesus, the Messiah, Emmanuel, God with us. The angels announce the birth of the baby Jesus, yet Christmas calls us to look for God, the one who spoke the cosmos into being, to look for God in the midst of this world, in the refugees, in the unemployed and the underemployed, in the lonely and the addicted. Look for the one who, when he grows up, touches the lepers, who feeds the hungry, who heals the sick, who eats with sinners and prostitutes and tax collectors, the one who moves into our neighborhood. We talked a lot in Kansas City this week about what it means for us to be made in God's image and to look for God's image in everyone that we meet. The Christmas story helps us, I think, to flesh out what God's image looks like, because Christmas tells us not to look for God's image only in our family and our friends, or only in great philosophers or Olympic athletes or the people who seem to have it all put together, but to look for God's image in the man sitting on the shade on the side of the road when it's 95 degrees out, to look for God's image in the overwhelmed mom who's trying to raise two energetic boys under the age of 6 while herself in a recovery program, in the kid kicked out by his parents who's staying in a shelter and trying to finish school. God has chosen to enter this world not only on December 25th, not on our schedule at all, not only in the beautiful sacred places where we might expect to find God, to encounter God's presence, but in the midst of real, everyday human life. Jesus is born into this world, into your life. God is not only some spirit somewhere out there, something like the Force from Star Wars or whatever. Christmas tells us God is knowable. God is personal. When you take communion and you taste the body and blood of our Lord given for you, that's personal. Christ for you. When you're drowned in the waters of baptism and given new life, that's personal. God adopting you, naming you beloved. Christ, our Savior, is born for you. God has come to you. Thanks be to God. Merry Christmas. Next weekend, we will be back to a more normal worship pattern. It's a very short Christmas season. So if you're around, I want to invite you to join us for that. Join us for worship. In addition, if you're able to give a financial donation to support our ministry here at St. Peter, that is very much appreciated. You can mail in or drop off an offering check here at the office, or give online at www.stpetergreen.com/giving. And thank you for your faithful support of our ministry together. Now, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.